listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
If you or your patient suffer from painful periods, moon swings, or other symptoms of premenstrual dysphoric disorder, or PMDD, this episode is for you. Our guest, nutrition therapist Isabel Thor, shares how she overcame her own decade-long struggle with PMDD and now helps women find natural solutions to relieve their symptoms. The fact is that painful periods are not normal, and surgery and drugs are not the only options. This episode provides hope and a path forward for your patients. Learn how to help them reclaim their health and get their life back. Welcome to Pivoting Pharmacy with Nutrigenomics, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, a must-have resource for pharmacist entrepreneurs seeking to enhance patient care while enjoying career and life. Join us as we pivot into nutrigenomics using pharmacy and nutrition for true patient-focused care. Explore how to improve chronic conditions rather than just manage them. Celebrate entrepreneurial triumphs and receive priceless advice. Align your values with a career that profoundly impacts patients. Together, we'll raise the script on health and pivot into a brighter future. Before you listen in, I want to thank our listener of the week, Supertech, who says, highly recommend it for everyone in the pharmacy world. Looking forward to all the different topics covered, from how genetics impact our weight management to daily scenarios and roadblocks and solutions related to medication compliance with our patients. Supertech, we're thrilled that you're finding value in our podcast. We aim to continue covering important issues and providing useful solutions. Thanks for tuning in and for your awesome recommendation. And you guys, remember, when you leave us a five-star review, you'll get the chance to be featured as our next listener of the week, and I'll give you a shout out right here on the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Pivoting Pharmacy with Nutrigenomics. I'm Dr. Tamar Lawful, Doctor of Pharmacy and Certified Nutritional Genomics Specialist. Today, we're talking about how to effectively manage common women's health concerns in a holistic way. Many women suffer from painful periods, PMS, and conditions like endometriosis. The good news is there are natural solutions that can help, because surgery and medications don't always address the root cause. We're going to discuss specific nutritional and lifestyle changes that can relieve symptoms and promote true healing. We'll also talk about cultivating a positive mindset, which is crucial when making major health changes. I'm excited to share this empowering information to help women take control of their health with Isabella Thor, nutritional therapy practitioner, a leading nutritionist who specializes in women's health. Using functional nutritional therapy, Isabella shows her clients the root cause of what's holding them back so they can go back to doing what they love with those they love. Now, let's dive into the full episode. Hi, Isabella. Thank you for joining us on the show today.
Hello, hello, Tamar. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. So let's kick this off by diving into your story, Isabella. What has been your personal health journey to where you are now in your professional practice?
Thanks, Tamar. It's been quite a long one, almost a decade, I'd say. But it started off me going through all the symptoms of PMDD right after I started university. And for anybody who does not know what PMDD is, it's basically PMS on steroids. And this is something that grows worse slowly over time, the more basically malnourished you are and so on, which we'll talk about later, hopefully. But like, and vitamin D has a huge part to do with it too. But anyway, I had undiagnosed PMDD going into university, and it got to the point of incredible depression by the end of university, suicidal thoughts and that sort of thing. You don't recognize who you are. It's very confusing. And so instead of pursuing philosophy major, I dropped out and I went into nutritional therapy instead. So now I'm a nutritional therapy practitioner, and I help women who went through the same things as me to get rid of PMDD, to stabilize their moods, get their life back on track, and especially relieve depression and all those mood swings that aren't actually you, but are are signs of malnutrition most of all. And I'd like to add that the other thing I've discovered on this path, and that I want to share as much as possible with whoever wants to listen, is that one fact that I've discovered in my practice, and that is that periods are not even supposed to be painful. And that's always a fun place to start a conversation. So yeah, that's a little bit about how I came here.
That's interesting, Isabella, because the common belief is that periods are supposed to be painful, right?
Absolutely.
That's interesting. So I definitely want to talk more about that. So in dealing with your clients, mainly you see those clients who have pain, right? They have chronic health issues.
Yes.
And various conditions like endometriosis, PCOS. What have you learned from your personal journey that you've been able to gain insight from to help them along their journey, what they're going through?
I love this. This is great. Going right into the details. This is what I've learned. They are all vitamin D deficient, and they are all experiencing painful periods. So why do I mention this again? This is the thing that people don't really connect the dots on, especially women and their healthcare providers. And that is that all these different conditions that you just mentioned, PCOS, endometriosis, PMDD, and some others perhaps, but I haven't dealt with them yet. And that is they all share the same extreme symptom of painful periods. And I mean, curled over, you got to cancel things or pound pain medication just to get through. And these conditions, I'd say, is something that are probably resulting over years, if not decades, of untreated, unresolved period pain. So we really got to figure out why your body's having such a hard time shedding that uterine lining or releasing your egg during ovulation. All of these things, all this pain is a signal for you to do something about it, because it will become worse later on. And that is something I've noticed for sure. And it's an important insight into anybody who's dealing with endometriosis, PCOS, etc. And the other big part of it is that after making this connection, we got to make sure that people are resolving their period pain, coming back to a normal period that's, you know, 3 days or four instead of five or six, having one day of perhaps some discomfort and maybe some fatigue rather than curled up in a ball somewhere and that sort of thing. And we want them to start. I always start here. I always optimize their vitamin D levels. It is such a powerful influencer on literally all of our body systems. There are receptors, literally called vitamin D receptors, all over our body, and they have a profound impact on our genome and epigenome. So yeah, I'd like to start there for sure. It's vitamin D. Have you optimized your vitamin D, Tamar?
Isabel, I'm the worst patient ever. Like, I can't take those vitamin D capsules every single day. And I absolutely need to, because what you mentioned, I first of all, let's acknowledge the fact that I didn't realize that vitamin D had such an impact on all those conditions that we're talking about, endometriosis, PCOS, the PMDD, that vitamin D deficiency is the cause or tied to those conditions. I'd had no clue about to that extent, because through my personal nutrigenomic test, it revealed that I am likely to be deficient in vitamin D because of my CYP2R1 enzyme, right? And the gene that codes for that, it doesn't convert vitamin D into the active metabolite, the one that is we see that's beneficial for our health, that produces all those beneficial effects. It doesn't convert the precursor into enough of the active metabolite. So yeah, I do have to take vitamin D on a regular basis, and more so than the average person, but I am not optimizing it. I'm being a horrible patient because I just had my test done the other day and it is still low. It only went up by two levels. So I have some work to do.
And just based on my first impression of you and your just knowing that you already have low levels and your complexion too, I mean, you must need at least 10,000 units, right?
Well, I haven't been taking, I think this is genetics aside from vitamin D deficiency.
Yeah. That's just like cherry on top of the pie. But
yeah, because I am darker complexion, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to need more as well, right? So
the other part is just, I appreciate that you voiced your surprise at vitamin D. It's a genuine thing. It always happens when I'm talking to people, but like, you know, here's a little lesson. We've got macronutrients, micronutrients, and that's everything you'll ever eat except water. Mm-hmm. And now where is vitamin D in that? It's a micronutrient. So micronutrients are either minerals or vitamins, and vitamin D falls under vitamins. And it's one of those vitamins that currently we're always kind of behind. You know, we might be 10 years behind the research on the ground. Mm-hmm. And universities might be 20 or 30 years on what they're teaching behind the research that's coming out now. But currently, the research is saying that vitamin D might even, should perhaps even be classified as a hormone, because it has such a profound influence on our body when it is not there or when it is there. And when anybody is surprised that it has hormonal effects, I got to mention that it is one of those essential nutrients required to make a lot of our hormones too. So that's the little lesson behind, in the nutritional lesson, on how hormones and vitamin D is connected. It's a vitamin. It's, most of us are deficient in it. And if you have just any darker complexion at all, and you live anywhere that's not the equator, you're going to have an exceptionally hard time just getting it from our current food system, unless you're eating very traditional foods. For example, goose liver, liver in general, there's a source of vitamin D. It's pretty darn great. But do you know anyone who eats goose liver anymore? It's just, you know, no.
Right.
So yeah, supplementing is extremely important. And I'm always so happy to see the results in people within days. When they start taking the right amount for their body, I swear, within days, they start feeling the difference. And I'm talking like they're a different person. They feel like themselves again, you know, the energized self, right. The one that can take things easier, whether it's stress or unexpected circumstance, they can just go with it and deal with the problem as it comes. And they're not brought down to their knees all the time, you know, and their mood just overall energy definitely improves. So you got a lot to look forward to when you optimize your vitamin D, not just hormonal balance.
Indeed. I think it's definitely safe to say it's definitely a vitamin and a hormone, because with the deficiency, yes, it affects us nutritionally, right? In different ways. And definitely a hormone as well, so it has that dual purpose within our bodies. And so it's just amazing that's just one nutrient or hormone that we're talking about. So can you imagine the plethora of other ones that when they're not balanced or they're not where they need to be, and the impact it's having on our body? So
you must get this question all the time. And it's so fun because you just mentioned this is just one thing among so many things that many people are deficient in. So the question usually is, okay, Tamar, if I just have to take one thing, what was it? Okay, just give me the one thing I need to think about, and then I can just not think about this health and nutrition stuff for the rest of my life. What is your answer to that?
I say a good multivitamin, but you always have to think of health and nutrition for the rest of your life.
That's right.
Health is not great a destination. Question. It's a journey. It's continuous. Mm-hmm. We have to do things on a daily basis to, one, get healthy, and then to stay healthy.
100%.
100%.
She caught my trick question.
Isabella, you can't get me. You can't get me today.
If I'm backed in a corner, honestly, tomorrow, I really do default to vitamin D, because there are always some disagreeable, fun people out there that really just want one answer. And, you know, it is quite a powerful answer. And I'd say it's also an important answer because it is so powerful that it gets them to pay attention most of the time. So yeah. It's like the gateway vitamin, yeah. So to speak.
Yeah, because from just talking about vitamin D, there's so much more you can lead into. Yeah, exactly. Because it has an impact on so many different.
This can make me feel good. What else can I do?
And the happy vitamin D, right?
Yes. Oh, thanks for mentioning that. Yes. Very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Vitamin D, so important. So you mentioned a little bit about pain associated with menstruation and different conditions associated with our women being women, right? And can you talk about some of the long-term effects of painful menstruation if it's not addressed?
Absolutely. I'd say there's two things that really come to mind. And that is, number one, what people do to deal with painful menstruation is really important. I know women who just, so to speak, suck it up and just deal with it and move on. And then there are others that seek pain medication. Mm-hmm. So over-the-counter pain medication, NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So all these things are help you relieve short-term pain. And however, these long-term, what I see again and again is that we're using too many of them and our dosing is always increasing to meet the same amount of pain relief. So this is just a really bad cycle in general. And I always see especially small intestinal problems coming from that long-term use of these things. These are supposed to be acute, you know, relief so that you can solve the deeper problem. And side note, when does anything hurt chronically in your body for years and is called normal in our society?
It's not normal.
Nothing unless it's actually a chronic condition. And nobody's going to tell you that your period is a chronic condition. So, of course, it's abnormal to have such pain during your period, number one. So, number one, there's the use of NSAIDs and other painkillers. And I'm seeing things like allergies developing, food sensitivities, not true allergies, but food sensitivities getting worse. And a lot of digestive symptoms in general getting worse and therefore leading to larger problems down the road. And the other side that I think about a lot is that when you don't deal with painful menstruation, you can start going down the path of what I see is endometriosis. What I see there is that there are only two solutions really given to women at that point, and that is surgery or really, really powerful drugs, including in some cases, birth control and other steroids. But the one that is really sad is that the surgery one is for most people, I mean, I'm talking like up to 60 or 80%. It's super high. Once you do those surgeries, like a laparoscopy or a laparotomy, you're paying $4,000 to $20,000 per surgery, and up to 60% and 80% of them get exactly the same symptoms back within 3 years later.
Wow.
And so what do most people do? They might go to the very extreme and just take out everything, you know, one and done. And that is just so unnecessary. And it pains me to see that that's basically the route that so many of us are on. And it's completely unnecessary. And what is going on? It's mostly, I see in my practice, it's malnutrition and it's over-toxified body. So you need to help open those detoxification pathways in your body. And of course, nourish your body, give it what it needs so that it can do all its functions that it does so well already.
Yeah, those statistics are mind-boggling.
Right?
That pretty much remission, right? And the problem is... Mm-hmm. Because they're never getting to the root cause of the issue. So yeah, yes. You can do surgery. It's temporary. It doesn't really fix the cause of the issue. So it's going to come back. And it is sad. It is sad that people can spend so much money on a procedure only to have those same symptoms recur again.
Absolutely. And again. And yes, anyway, this is why we're here, you know?
Yeah, to highlight this.
We gotta help people start with the basics. We gotta help them start with vitamin D. Honestly, start with eating enough protein, especially with the women I work with. We don't eat enough protein. And back to what I do as a nutritional therapy practitioner, what I'm doing the most is helping people see what our bodies do when they don't have enough resources. It's pretty darn obvious, but nobody talks about it. So we got to say it. And that is, can you expect a master builder, an extremely famous architect, to build your dream house if you only give this person 100 bricks and a bale of straw and then a little bit of clay? I don't know, but basically not enough to build your dream house. So of course you'd say no, this person cannot build your dream house, no matter how perfect they are already and well qualified. And I always want to point out that that's what most of our bodies are in right now. They're not in a broken state. They are just a bunch of factories that are running on very limited resources. And so many of them may appear broken and function in a broken way. A really common one is thyroid. It's like one of the most fluctuating factories, so to speak, in your body in terms of if it does not have enough, you feel it real quickly. And the symptoms are really obvious. Mm-hmm. So this is a really important point. You have perfect structure in your body. Most likely you're perfectly well-formed. Just like how most chronic conditions aren't genetically predetermined. I mean, they're 5% perhaps of the population or much lower, but most of us aren't dealing with that sort of genetic predeterminism that is so powerful. Most of us have perfect structures and they just need enough resources to do their jobs.
Yeah. So can you tell us about, walk us through the 7 foundations of health? Because I know you talk about nutrition and you may have touched on some of those points already with the foundations, but can you go more into tell us more about those 7 foundations that you have, of health that you have, and how we can make that part of our everyday routine?
Ooh, and you want how to do it. That's the, I like that. So the first 7 are, let's just run through them quickly. So we've got your deep nutrition, macros, micros. Okay. And then we've got your digestion system. We've got your hydration, your mineral balance and fatty acid balance and blood sugar regulation. And I always like to throw mindset at the end there. Okay. So now that's everything. And that's a big mouthful for most people. So step by step, what do you do with each of these to get better? Let's start with the deep nutrition part of it. We've got the most important thing I see is that, again, we're just not giving our bodies enough nutrients. That is both mineral and vitamin. But I'd say to start with, I would say 100% make sure you're getting enough protein in your life. Figure out what you weigh. If you don't know already, let's say you're a person that's 70 kilograms. I insist that you get at least minimum 70 grams, therefore, of protein every day. So that is a extremely useful little thing you can start doing right away as soon as possible. And you'll be very surprised how little protein there is in most of your foods. Okay. Right. So just do your best. I'm always adding resources to my blog. You can go online, figure these out, just one food at a time.
Thank you, Isabella. Now, you don't have to go through all of them, but I think it would be, I know, I'm sure you experienced too, mindset is huge when it comes to changing and eating a new way, adopting new lifestyles. So what tips do you have for mindset for those who are listening?
Excellent. I never get to talk about this enough. So thank you. Anyway,
it's so important.
It really is. There's a big word out there. It's called compliance. If you're at all in the health world, whether you've been doing this alone, trying to fix your health for a while, or you are a practitioner of one sort or another, you've come across compliance and how hard it is to get people to basically follow the plan. I myself am totally a part of this crowd. And here's the thing. For most of us, we're doing too much at once. Mm-hmm. That's number one. I got to help my perfectionists. Yes, hello, me too. I got to help my perfectionists slow down. And I got to help them integrate this saying into their life. And the saying is, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. I know you want to go fast and you want to get that gold star. You know, you want to be my best client ever and recover so quickly. If I say you're going to recover in 6 months, you want to do it in 3 months. Like,
right.
Or like if I give you 10 options, you want to do at least 11 options, you know?
Right.
So that's how you know you're one of these people. Okay. So the thing that I give them to help them basically manage their state of mind, it's called sort of like the thought model. And it's quite a powerful exercise for any part of your life. And here's what it is. So it's like a diagram. So it has three things and they're like a circle and they feed into each other. The first one is thoughts. The second one, and it feeds into it, is emotions. And the third one is actions and results. And of course, that then feeds into thoughts again. So often when I'm starting out with someone, they have thoughts of, I've been in so much pain for so long. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can be the one to recover. Maybe I'm just a lemon, you know? So there's a thought. And how does that make someone feel? Obviously, it makes them feel unmotivated.
Disempowered.
Yeah, that's a big one. They're already sort of beating themselves up, you know? And therefore, what do you do from that state? So, you know, what's the next action? I mean, what's the next step in the diagram? It's actions and results. Of course, therefore, you either take all the actions or you just do some of them in an iffy fashion because you already think you're going to lose. And therefore, what happens? You have more thoughts, more evidence, in fact, to support you feeling crappy about this journey, about how you're going to get better. So that's how this works, especially for someone who's already feeling quite defeated in the beginning. We want to use this for their benefit. So what I give people as homework a lot is to say, how do you want to feel? Okay, let's start with that, the feeling box. I want to feel, most of the time, they want to feel relief, whether it's symptoms or whether it's just feeling like they got this. They can do this no matter what. Confident is a big one. So that's what I give them. And then I ask them by themselves to go home and say, go backwards and think, what sorts of thoughts would you have to think in order to have this kind of emotion of confidence in yourself and that sort of thing? And a couple good ones are, I've got this. I have so much time to get there. There is no rush. And often they need some help with this section. And I usually get them to, especially if they need evidence of confidence, just look at your history. Have you done anything you're proud of in your life? Have you done anything successfully? The likelihood of yes is like a 100%. You've done something really darn well, whether it's in your career or personal life. And that is evidence enough that you can do this too. So that's just one little hint of the huge iceberg that's under the water here of there's so much evidence from your past, I promise you, for you to feel any emotion that you want. So you start there. And then that alone is quite powerful for them. And then what follows are the actions. And therefore, they start creating new evidence now, new thoughts now that are feeding into the great emotion of, wow, this is feeling good. I'm getting better. And it keeps going.
And it's like we can be our own worst enemies and be get in our own ways with this negative talk, doubt, you know. So the mindset is very powerful and having that positive mindset. And one person explained it to me as if the mind is a muscle, this mindset. Think of it as a muscle that we have to continually work on and grow and develop to make it strong. So when you first start off, it's going to be difficult
100%
to be positive and look on the bright side all the time. But the more that we practice doing it, it gets stronger and easier for us to do. Very powerful.
I love that. It's a muscle. It's so true. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, especially when it comes to being able to look into your past, that particular action is quite hard for most people because we tend to forget all the good things you've done. Right. Then there's so many, I promise you. And if you don't write them down, your brain is like, it's just not important enough to remember. So of course I'm not going to remember this part. So that is just, you got to practice remembering that. And another thing I usually give people as a tool is 5-year journal right away. Day one, they start a 5-year journal and they have to write something that was freaking great from their day. Mm-hmm. And another thing that wasn't so great, that felt like a failure. And then what happens is you have every day of the year in the journal. Mm-hmm. And then the next year they come back to the same day from the year before and they read, you know, that those two lines and they celebrate the things that they did awesome to help them remember that they are in fact and can be quite a great person and do great things like recover their health or have better health outcomes. And for their failures, they also get to celebrate their failures because most of the time the failures are always leading to something better. And so they can start looking forward to now year by year, day by day, they can start looking forward to both how great the day can be and how great their failures can be. Because fear of failing in my program, including my program, my health foundation program is a big deal when they're just starting out. I think when I have people sit down in my free consultations, the concern is not whether you have enough time or whether you have enough money. At the end of the day, most of them are like, just, will it work for me? Can I really do this? That's really what I hear the most. So if you don't have evidence for anything you want to do in your life, start a 5-year journal.
That's awesome. That's a great idea. Definitely a powerful resource for them to make that 5-year calendar right from the beginning. Just get them started and thinking about what their goals are and how they're feeling and comparing that year after year. So could you tell us maybe a success story, one of your clients, how they benefited from your guidance and were able to improve in their conditions?
Absolutely. Just recently, what comes to mind is we were just about a month and a half in, I think, into the program. And she was one of those, really thought she was a lemon and had tried a lot of things, a lot of experiments. And some of it had made things worse for her. She was just a classic case for me. So PMDD, only self-diagnosed. She was like a do it herself, no matter what. First, I got her on vitamin D right away. And she already had, within 2 weeks, she felt like her extreme. So what happens in PMDD is that you've got, it's different for different women. So extreme mood can be extreme anger sometimes, or some versions of that irritation or not feeling like you even know who you are, what you like anymore, or the depression side of things. So anger, depression are the most common ones. So she was dealing with a lot of the anger side. And 2 weeks after taking her sufficient dose of vitamin D, and I'm talking 10,000 international units, she already went down from full-on anger down to irritation. So that's a big step for her because it was intense sort of rage, you would call it. Like, you need to like get out of my space kind of. But well, I guess that was a month ago. So now we're at the state where she's also able to do some like feeling and thought work. And now those emotions of irritation are now subsided to just, oh, this person is doing something and it has nothing to do with me. it's just them doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't my problem to begin with at all. And it's a very common thing that I see. Mood changes are a really big one. As for her pain, we're at about time where she's now having periods. She had like 6-day periods, and now she's only having 3-day periods, and they're like easy, smooth, and only a slight discomfort now. And she's a unique case because she got this to this point and it's only been 6 weeks. And I attribute that to her not having to deal with this for very long. She's relatively younger. And that's incredible to get down to like a normal level. We're not all the way there, but that's incredible. Mm-hmm. And most women have been dealing with this, however, for more like a decade or so. So the healing time will take longer. And I will say for anybody who's curious how long it will take, about 1 month for every year. But then again, this woman was an exception and she's already had this, just like me. We're the same age, 10 years. And here she is 6 weeks in and the body just needed what it needed.
So typically 1 month for every year that they've had the condition, that they've been dealing with the symptoms.
Thank you. The recovery time. Yeah, I did not finish that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow.
That's it. That's usually, you know, max, I usually see. But people surprise you.
Yeah. They're
very willing to heal.
And then again, everyone's different. It might be genetics again and how they respond to the vitamin D, how much of the vitamin D they're actually they're converting into the active metabolite that they need. Yeah. So that might be another factor.
Oh my gosh.
That's awesome. Yes. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And I'm happy for your client that she was able to get that relief and start having regular menstrual cycles and her mood improved. I'm sure. She Wonderful. Appreciates that as well as those around her as well. I'm sure
she really does. Definitely. She would agree.
Well, Isabella, before we close out, I really want to touch on the challenge of entrepreneurship. You're an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I'm an entrepreneur. Yeah. You know, most of our listeners are pharmacists and they're venturing into a new and non-traditional space in which, like you and I, they aim to help patients reduce the need for medications. Can you touch on some of the challenges that you faced and how you overcame them, or maybe just one main challenge that really stuck out to you and how you overcame that, to give some words of wisdom to those listening, our fellow entrepreneurs.
Well, I'd say, I think you got to remember just to tell people what you do. I think that's really important. People are becoming a lot more aware these days that standard healthcare is for emergency situations and long-term care need something else. And chronic conditions can be resolved in many, many, many cases. So let people know, I think, is the most powerful thing I'd say, what you do. I didn't let people know what I was doing for a long time. And that was a huge mistake because so many people are interested in this. Mm-hmm. And they will be doubly, triply interested in it if you also have such a great background in the standard care model too. It's very powerful to have both. And I enjoy both perspectives too, because I've always been working and having conversations with people that are in the standard healthcare and have moved into functional medicine. And where I am now is it straddles functional medicine mm-hmm. and holistic nutrition. And people want both. They don't really just want one. So I'd say, just let people know what you do, and especially that you can help. Just use those words. I can help you. Don't forget to say that.
I love that. I love that, Isabella. I can help you. Let people know. I like to say, scream it from the mountaintops.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yes. Scream it loud, because, you know, we are in, we're often a vital service, a very important service to people out there, no matter what the specialty is, being able to work with them, educate them so that they know another way, a healthier way, a safer way to get their health in order. And not to negate the fact, as you mentioned, that it's not like we're anti-medicine, right? No. There are certain situations where it's needed or there's temporary, but not having to rely on 100%. It all the time. If it doesn't have to be relied on all the time, you know. So definitely let people know about it. Let them know you can help. That is great advice. Because if they don't know, they don't know. How are they going to know that you can help them? You won't get anyone coming to you.
People are not paying as close attention as you think. Okay. So really.
Yeah. You have to be very, and make it like no subliminal messages. Just be very clear. And
exactly.
Be very clear and upfront. This is what I do. This is how I can help you. Yes. That's awesome. So to wrap things up, how can women work with you to kickstart their journey back to health, Isabella?
Oh, sure thing. I'd say number one, everything's kind of on my website. I run a online practice and it's just one-on-one where we go through a health foundation program based on what you're dealing with right now. And most people I'm dealing with right now have some sort of chronic pain of one sort or another, especially period pain. And related to that, there's also infertility and that sort of thing. So that's sort of the people I'm working the most with one-on-one. But no matter what you're dealing with, if it's chronic and there's pain, just go to my website, take a look. We have a foundation health program. And even if you don't work with me, sign up for my free consultation. It's free. I give you a functional health assessment. And it's so, so valuable to help you know where you should start next. Because the value with working someone else is that they help you prioritize. And in my free consultations, I help people prioritize exactly what they can do next so that they can get the most recovery possible with the least amount of action steps taken next. So that is what I'd say. And other than that, if you just want to, you know, start somewhere even smaller, I have a nutrition letter that goes out every once in a while, or a blog on the website, and an email letter, newsletter. It's, you know, I'm always trying to share free resources, things you can do to really just keep building up those habits that really do affect your, we didn't talk about this today, but man, it's such a great conversation if we could talk about lifestyle and nutrition impacts on your genetic expression. There's just huge. There's so many actions you can take.
We'll come back.
Exactly.
We can return and we'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah. And all of it is on isabellathor.com. That might help knowing what the website is.
And I will drop your website in the show notes for the audience to have a link to just click on easily and get to you. It's been a pleasure, Isabella, chatting with you today. And
likewise.
Insight onto these menstrual symptoms and the importance of vitamin D, which I knew, but I didn't know to the extent to which it really impacts our menstrual health. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure and I would love to have you on again.
Oh, I would love to come again. There's so much left, like you said. Thank you so much, Tamar.
That's all I have for you today. If any part of this conversation interested or resonated with you, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Your 5-star review and comments can guide others on a similar journey. Subscribe, rate, and download this episode to ensure you're always in the loop. Coming up next week on the show, we're talking about navigating the entrepreneurial journey for health professionals so you can transition smoothly from employee to an entrepreneur without falling victim to psychological stress. Talk to you next Friday.